Hello, people. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about environment and how different things can really affect us more than we may think. And this is something that I wanted to bring up because many people that are interested in the type of topics that we discuss can fall into this trap of feeling that through this viewpoint that everything is one and that part of them is in everything, that they can start to develop an arrogance to where you think, well, it doesn't matter what's around me, because they feel that their will is so rock solid that that's really the only thing. And a lot of people can fall into that trap, especially if you feel that you're more, you know, independent. So we have to always look at how important the environment is and the setting, the context. In fact, that we begin to find that what we formerly saw as the background actually becomes more so the most important, because whatever is in your central focus is sometimes pretty obvious. However, the things that basically are adjacent to that, you may be unaware of. And we know that whatever one is unaware of often may have the greatest effect upon the overall outcome, because that's just the strength of our consciousness. So really, you know, a practical way to go about this is just to examine your attitude upon arising for the day. That's why I often recommend, you know, when awaking, not to immediately just open your eyes and go about your day, but to kind of slowly allow yourself to awaken and get yourself into kind of a centered mindset and outlook upon the day. Get to a place to where, at least if you may not be too excited about what you have to do, at least to a place of acceptance, right? Or neutrality. So that then you can operate throughout your day and not be accident prone and not bring into manifestation a lot of imbalanced energies. Now, I present this topic because, as I said, the older that I get, the more pertinent I see that it is. That who you have around you, what you have around you, and where you are, all the details begin to exert quite a bit of influence on your inner life, the inner purpose that you find within your activities. So that sometimes, you know, you may feel that you're really in a rut or up against something, and all you may be up against is a change of something, change of the context. Like, you may have the right idea about what it is you want to achieve, but you may be stuck with functional fixedness as to the way that you pursue that, right? And you don't want to let your method actually destroy you. Because truth be told, it's a exploration to where you may research methods, whether they're spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, different ways of training yourself, maintaining yourself at a level to where you can function optimally. And yet ultimately, since you're not the creator of any of those methods, you will never be able to truly embody that unless you develop your niche, your particular manifestation of that method. And at that point, doesn't it become a new thing? It becomes a new entity. So that's something that's of vital importance, that when we're pursuing all of our endeavors, that you don't get locked into one way of thinking indefinitely. I will say that, because it is somewhat likely that we're in attractor fields. We've talked about this before, and it's called paradigm blindness. It means that to whichever level that you operate on, other levels appear to be invisible, depending on how expansive the state is that you're actually inhabiting. And likewise, that should help you be a little more understanding towards someone else and less judgmental, meaning that you can see, well, if they won't meet me halfway, right, then nothing's going to be able to bridge this gap unless I can say, okay, well, to them, what I feel may seem non-existent. The way that I believe may make no sense whatsoever. So, can I be the more expansive entity and go ahead and say, well, can I attempt to actually comprehend where they're coming from? And in making that gesture, you may be surprised how powerful it is. Because there are certain people that may have had very few people ever really try to understand them. Everyone's always trying to be understood, but what about trying to understand others? In doing that, you will come to understand yourself. So, you know, at the end of the day, this growth as a human race is pretty easy, and it becomes really universal. And so we study that curriculum just by trying to embody anything that we believe. Now, one can be cynical, and of course we have to remind everybody that actually on an ultimate level, it doesn't really matter what you believe, because the truth itself is what's important. So whether or not you believe in the chakra system, that's really irrelevant, except perhaps to you. But, you know, they exist regardless. Same thing with ideas such as transmigration of the soul or the recycling of soul and spirit matter. That's a reality whether or not someone wants to choose to believe in it. However, to be more optimistic and explain how beliefs can be useful, they're only really useful if they're put to use. And that may seem obvious, but meaning that if you believe in the truth of unconditional love, it's best to test that hypothesis by actually achieving that end and becoming yourself that energy. Or if you believe in the conception of salvation and that you are saved and that others are saved from their flaws through the mediating force, then it's best to actually have such strong faith in that ideal that you live your life in a manner befitting that belief. And that's really the main danger with beliefs, is that if you hold a certain, you know, virtue or certain principle to be, you know, accurate, then one should live that way. And also then be open to the fact that you may discover that the concept as you had perceived it, or as you were taught even, does not align perfectly with your experience, the way that you have come to embody that truth. So not to be scared of things actually shifting, meaning that if you have some book as your reference point, or some teacher, some ideology, then go ahead and test the truth of that through soul science, through your own vessel, empirically going through, and it's always open-ended, right? So it's not one day, oh, duh, I have achieved this. Because actually, to get a little bit technical, if you're still in that dualistic state where you feel like you've achieved something, you're kind of missing the point. Because the fact is, we're in an ever-achieving construct, meaning that all verbs are built into its nature of this reality. Everything is done through it. It's the doer of everything. and it's the receiver of all the actions. So we're still in that type of construct to where it defies dualistic explanation. So, you know, we always have to include that caveat, of course. But, you know, to keep it very practical, basically, we're still discussing attempting to discern the ultimate truth with the least amount of presumption, okay, of elitism or dogma, so that we actually, it's tricky because we have to be very specific as we're going through our experience to glean the precise essence of what's that, what it's meant to convey to us. However, we also want to be very general in the sense of being as open-minded as possible, right? As wide-souled as we can. Because, just to be blunt, there's a huge array, a rainbow diversity of cultures and methods, perceptions, perspectives on this planet, and we want to be as respectful as possible while not compromising our own principles. So that's what we see happening in the human spirit at large right now, is that people are doing that work of coming to terms with what it means to be rather defined in one's intensity and inner essence, and simultaneously to give honor and respect and their due to others who quite obviously are going to have a differing perspective or differing essence, something else to bring to the table. Now, you know, we've debunked this before, that it should be obvious, but it's not to people, that people are different and they bring different things to the table for a specific reason. There would be no purpose in having all things the exact same facet. I mean, an oak tree is not an elm tree. They're completely different facets of the infinity. And that's how it is with every person. That's a huge source of conflict in the reality, that parents are trying to get children to be like them. You know, teachers are trying to get the students to think like them. The scientists are training the new novitiates to be like them. Even the priests and all are training the young ones to see like them. And we see an immense inertia then in the reality, because we have this cookie cutter mold type approach that is just broken and stems out of fear that, oh, we're clinging to this familiarity, that if we don't have the full comprehension of what is going to come after us, then that makes us fearful of losing our identity. But, you know, however, look on the beautiful side of that. That means that, you know, no one's ever going to come that's going to be like us. We all bring something completely, honestly, priceless to the construct and to this collective. And that may be hard for many people to believe. If you're struggling with, you know, your self-esteem, that's a common thing. Indeed, we all go through periods where we feel, you know, maybe even worthless. And, you know, a large facet of it may be due to dealing with the monetary system, where people have this idea of, it skews self-perception, right? So someone may be born into wealth and think and have an overblown sense of their own current, their own value, when someone else may be coming up in poverty and they have an underdeveloped sense of their own worth. So, you know, outside of the arbitrary monetary system, of course, still dualistic, oftentimes used to instate slavery and to solidify imbalances. people may have a hard time believing that, but yes, it's true. In fact, we are basically priceless, as is everything. Every living thing and everything in creation has its own priceless value, and it truly it can't be replaced by something else. So when we see that intangibility, that is pretty scary for most, meaning this still has to do with transcending duality and seeing that all things are ever-changing and can't actually be pinned down by something outside of it, like a language. But in pursuing that truth to a high degree, one begins to glean the immense beauty, because that means all things are fleeting, all relations, all concepts, all empires, all, you know, everything is fleeting. Everything is passing through a unique stage of its development at each instant. And then simultaneously, things are invincible and they're immortal. So we're still basically exploring the paradoxes and maintaining our contentment or our leveled status within that, which is a paradox within itself. So we're just dealing with the same thing that everyone deals with, which is the vagueness, the confusion, the mystery of things, right? The wonder. Notice how all those terms are depicting the same thing, which is the uncertainty, which is the fact that we haven't been able to encapsulate the mystery of this reality within anything, but they convey it from different angles. So this uncertainty can be exhilarating or terrifying depending on where you're aligned with. So, as we talked about before, it's most likely the wisest thing to align oneself with something that is durable rather than temporary. So, we see that a lot of the anger, the frustration, the despair, and fear in the world and in as portrayed in the media are only one choice of response to the events that occur, and that through our free will we can choose to take other viewpoints. What about a viewpoint of awe towards what happened in the world? Because rather than saying, oh my God, that's so scary, and you see what happened, and man, we gotta stock up, and we gotta pray for apocalypse. Then why not just saying, wow, you know, this event that occurred was amazing, you know, even if it was horrible, and to realize, wow, to even have a gratitude towards those crazy occurrences and say, you know, where can I view the silver lining to this? To what extent can I actually perceive the meaning of the integration of this event into everything that's happened throughout all history and everything that will occur in the future? So, of course, we're asking kind of a lot because, you know, we're all busy. We all get loaded down with stress. And it can be uncomfortable to take responsibility for our feelings, thoughts, and what we see as our issues. But to do so is extremely empowering. So, you know, that's a simple message. We're looking at our own pricelessness in the unique essence that we are, that no one has ever been and no one will ever be. And we're dispensing with the fear that often comes with that, and we're also dispensing with this strange compulsion to expect others to be like us, which is actually an odd neurosis and a form of insanity, because we know that no one's going to ever be exactly like us. It doesn't matter if they're our spouse, our parent, our child, our best friend, You know, it don't matter. So, yeah, this, I feel there's really a need for simplification right now, and to get these ideas and their usefulness across to everyone. So I'm really going to attempt to keep it pretty accessible, although I will still dip into the more esoteric terminologies if there's no other way to explain those. And, you know, it's a little tricky. It's a good challenge to keep it at a level to where it engages those who already may have quite a handle on this concepts, and then also to not make it too out there for those who are just getting into this realm of reality and non-duality, to, you know, give them something with substance to sink their teeth into. So yeah, as always, I appreciate everyone being involved with this, and continue to draw inspiration from everything that goes on. So wholeness and gratitude to everyone, and let's connect soon.